Israel, Lebanon, and what's happening in Ukraine is just, you know, can we not just send people to go and die? Can we not just sort of sit down and talk about things rather than...
Let's do that again. Let's sit down and talk about things the next time. Thank you for that.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
BBC News at 2 o'clock. This is Simon English. Kris Kristofferson, the American singer, songwriter and actor, has died at the age of 88. After studying at Oxford, he gave up a career in the US Army to pursue his music. Among his early successes was Me and Bobby McGee in 1969.
Being good was good enough for me.
It became a huge hit the following year when Janis Joplin re-recorded it. Kristofferson also appeared in several films such as Convoy, Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, and A Star is Born with Barbara Streisand. A statement said he passed away peacefully in Hawaii, surrounded by his family. The final blast furnace at Britain's biggest steelworks in Port Talbot will cease production today, bringing an end to over a century of primary steelmaking in the town. More than 2,500 Tata employees are being made redundant across the area. A new electric furnace is planned for 2027. Our Wales correspondent, Hal Griffith, reports.
Today marks a huge shift away from the old coal-fired method of making steel towards new, greener technology, which Tata says will reduce carbon emissions at the site by 90%. However, it also triggers an enormous cut in the workforce, with 2,800 posts being closed and many local businesses fearing for their future. The new electric arc furnace, which won't be in place for at least 3 years, will recycle scrap steel and won't require the same number of staff.
The UK's last coal-fired power station closes at midnight. Ratcliffe-on-Soar in Nottinghamshire has been generating electricity for the last 56 years. When operations end, the UK will become the first major economy to quit coal. Two people are reported to have been killed in an Israeli airstrike on the Lebanese capital Beirut. Earlier, Lebanon's health ministry said 50 people had been killed in Israeli strikes targeting Hezbollah positions in the country's third largest city, Sidon, and in the eastern Baalbek region. Rishi Sunak has urged the Conservative Party to end the backbiting and the squabbling. In a speech on the opening day of the party's conference in Birmingham, the former Prime Minister said he had one final ask for members to get behind whoever wins the contest to replace him. In football, Tottenham are celebrating a 3-0 win over Manchester United at Old Trafford. Elsewhere, Aston Villa drew 2-2 at Ipswich. The Ipswich manager, Kieran McKenna, said despite the draw, he was pleased with his side's start to the season.
We've had probably, if you look at the table, a difficult first six fixtures. And again, it's four games in a row now that we have got a result out of the game. The only two teams to beat us so far are Man City and Liverpool in the first 2 weeks when we were really coming together as a group. So I think we're in a good way. I like the direction of the group, but we know there's a long way to go.
And that's the BBC News. It's 2:03.
On BBC iPlayer.
Marcus Calderwood identified me before he died.
Why did he identify you?
I don't know.
A cop who smashed his car into a guy trying to save the planet.
Allegedly, he's still entitled to a defence.
I don't think we should touch this.
Starring Michael Socca and Adil Akhtar.
Before we go to court, is there anything I need to know?
The new series of Show Trial.
I'm Officer X.
Watch all episodes from this Sunday on BBC iPlayer.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
The voice of the UK.
This is our wee part of the United Kingdom.
Live from here at Old Trafford.
I think it needs a massive overhaul.
Dalton Adebayo.
Listen on BBC Science.
Here on the nightclub tonight, we're paying tribute to Kris Kristofferson, who has died at the age of 88. We learned that just about an hour or so before we came on air. And it's your memories that I'm after tonight.
I have seen the morning burning golden on the mountain in the skies. Aching with the feeling of the freedom of an eagle when she flies. Turning on the world the way she smiled upon my soul as I lay dying. Healing as the colors in the sunshine and the shadows of her eyes. waking in the morning to the feeling of her fingers on my skin. Wiping out the traces of the people and the places that I've been. Teaching me that yesterday was something that I never thought of trying. Talking of tomorrow and the money, love, time we had to spend. Loving her was easier than anything I'll ever do again.
And that's the title of the song. Loving her was easier than anything I'll ever do again. And it's Mel that has mentioned this by text 85058. If you'd like to join us and give us your thoughts on Kris Kristofferson or any particular tune by him. Obviously, if you met Kris Kristofferson or saw him perform live, it would have been some time ago. He died at the age of 88, but nevertheless, you might have a connection with one of these songs that you want to talk about. Then pay tribute to him. Mel says, Kris Kristofferson wrote some fab songs. My man plays Loving Her Was Easier Than Anything I'll Ever Do Again to me. It means a lot. As we've reunited after 50 years. Isn't that incredible? Beautiful. Thank you for that. Oh, and we've been asking about pilgrimages as well. You know, the places where you make a pilgrimage to for whatever reason, not religious, but the kind of pilgrimages that are about our hobbies, our passions, and, you know, the great and the good that we hear about through life. And there might be a place that's significant to your hobby, your passion, the person that you're passionate about, and you make a pilgrimage there just for that. Well, Athens, Georgia, when I say that, you know I'm talking about REM, yeah, the group REM. So our listener says, when I was 20, I think, I went to Athens, Georgia, as I was a massive REM fan. That was 1991, so they weren't yet absolutely massive. I met Michael Stipe, the lead singer, sitting outside a pizza place during the day. Then in the evening, I met Mike Mills in a bar and spoke to him for a while. I bet you can't do that anymore. Although, I do believe they still live in Athens, Georgia, and they're still big down there as well. Oh, and R.I.P. the Rubber Duck. Oh, this is from the movie Convoy, is it? Rubber Duck. This is Rubber Duck 2. Yeah, the one that is just the film and the tune. It's the tune. The film is Convoy, but the tune was the one that led to the streak, you know, people taking off all their clothes and running through the streets naked. Honestly, I saw it once, and it was not an appetizing look till today. On Stroud Green Road in North London, near Finsbury Park, just down the road from where the Gooners have got their ground, this bloke, on a Saturday night, I remember it was across the road. It was Saturday night. It was about 8 or 9 o'clock in the night. And some bloke suddenly appears out of nowhere and runs. I think he came out of a bar or whatever and just runs down the road naked. And I don't get that. You know, I'm from a country where that kind of doesn't happen. Not even from a country. A part of the UK where that kind of thing doesn't happen. So it's not quite near where I live. It doesn't happen in the Tottenham side of North London. But and they were a streaker. They actually streaked down the road. Honestly, till this day. Do you know when it happens, you're so gobsmacked. You know, I wish I had said something now, but at the time it's kind of like, oh my word. And the guy just runs. Oh my word. Oh my word. Anyway, once upon a time, that kind of thing happened on our streets. It was called streaking. And men and women would take off their clothes and run for no apparent reason. I still don't get it. If anybody can explain streaking to me, why that phenomenon happened, then do. Oh, and this one. Let me just read one more text. Dalton, great show from Trucker Steve. This is, I think, we're taxed enough. This country is in a shocking state. Tough love is needed. People will get the message. A lot of people have children to prevent having to go to work. Sick of hearing tax this, tax that. it won't be worth working soon. So you say, it's still worth working, mate. I would still rather work than not work, you know, to earn a little bit of change, despite all the heavy tax. And like my maths teacher once said to me, when we were at school, when I was about 12, 13 years old, maths teacher comes in and says, yeah, who would like to pay loads of money for tax and who would like to pay less money for tax? And like a fool, there were probably about 80% of us in the class who were fools and all put up our hands and said, we want to pay less money for tax. The smart kids say, no, I want to pay a lot of money because that means I'm earning a lot more than you lot who are paying a lot less. Anyway, that's the kind of school I went to. Colin in Stockport is with us. Oh, and by the way, before I get there, Colin, bear with me. Let me just remind people that issue about tax is about, and this is probably our top story this morning. It's about Kemi Badenoch, one of the Tory party leadership hopefuls. Has been saying that, look, the cost of maternity is just too much. We can't be paying this level of maternity, particularly if you're a small company. It's very restrictive. You know, the tax burden on small companies, etc., is very restrictive, or the red tape around running a business, very restrictive, etc., etc. So the suggestion is that we should pay less and offer less maternity leave, etc. What do you think of that? 0808 590 9693. We're also talking about neighbours from hell, aren't we, Colin, in Stockport? Neighbours from hell. You're talking about your actual Lucifer as a neighbour. Imagine having the devil in disguise as your neighbour. And you've experienced that, have you?
I have two neighbours. One on the left. One on the right. The one on the right is a carer. She couldn't be more lovely, you know, helpful, whatever. But one on the left, well, he is actually absolutely great bloke. You wouldn't think so on first impressions, because he swears his head off. let's say opinionated. But he will do anything for anybody. And we have rows about everything. Religion, yep. We'll have a fight about that. But I wouldn't wish for a nicer person to live next door to me. Even though on first take, you'd say, gosh, how on earth do you manage to do that?
So let me get this right. Are you the neighbour from hell then? Because you've got neighbours to the left of you, neighbours to the right of you. Well,
no.
The neighbours to the left of you and the neighbours to the right of you appear to be saints. And as we're talking about neighbours from hell, I'm presuming you're the piggy in the middle that is the neighbour from hell. Yeah?
I am the piggy in the middle.
You're the neighbour from hell. Why do you have to make your neighbours' lives hellish? Why?
I don't. Everyone seems to like me. And bizarrely enough, even my next-door neighbour from hell, Jeff, next door, number 51.
Easy. Please don't identify your neighbour
beyond that.
Thank you. So it's number 51 anywhere in Stockport, but yeah.
Yes, it could be anywhere apart from Nolan.
It could be Rotterdam or anywhere. Anywhere.
I do try.
But say, it could be other number 51s are available in Stockport, thankfully. Thankfully. So, yeah, go on, your neighbour from hell. Tell me about him.
Anyway, he has got an absolute heart of gold.
Yeah, but he's a neighbour from hell.
You know, swears his head off. He can't speak a sentence without swearing.
Well, there's a lot of people like that.
Shakespeare.
People
meet him for the first time.
How about Shakespeare? Nobody ever goes on about how filthy Shakespeare is. Yeah, absolute filth.
Well, he doesn't swear, does he?
Have you read Romeo and Juliet?
Cool. That's about 40 years ago.
That is the most filthy filth I've ever read in my life. Do you know trust me. Do you remember at the very beginning there are these two manservants? Samson and Gregory? Yeah. On my word, Gregory, we'll not carry coals. No, for then we shall be collars. Colliers, I mean, a dog of the house of Montague moves me. A dog?
Blimey.
A dog of that house will move me to stand. I will take the wall of any man or woman of Montagues. What? You take the... Oh, God, how's it go? Something about the maidenheads. What? Will you cut off their maidenhead? Will you cut off...
Very good.
This is off the top of my head. This is off the top of my head. But he says something like, will you cut off the heads of the maidens? He goes, I or their maidenheads? Come on, that is disgusting.
Oh, yes.
So, your neighbour...
When I was at school, I wasn't old enough to understand the meanings of this stuff. But blimey, really?
Yeah, really. Your neighbour is probably your old bard, the bard of Stockport, the number 51 bard of Stockport.
It definitely isn't. No,
well, you say that,
isn't.
You see. I'm not so sure. Here we go. A dog of that house. Now, I'm reading off the screen now. So he goes...
his dog's called Bruno, by the way. Just so you know. Bit of information.
Who's called Bruno?
Bruno.
Who?
His dog. Jeff's dog.
His dog. Okay, so you're identifying
him.
More names. He might be the only person in Stockport at number 51 who's got a dog called Bruno, and he'll be identified that way. So please, no more names.
Okay. Right, here we go. Okay.
So Samson goes... Samson goes, a dog of that house shall move me to stand. I will take the wall of any man or maid of Montagues. That shows you to be a weak slave, says Gregory, for the weakest goes to the wall. Samson goes, 'tis true, and therefore women, being the weaker vessels, are ever thrust to the wall. Therefore I will push Montague's men from the wall and thrust his maids to the wall. The quarrel is between our masters and us, their men. Samson goes, 'tis all one. I will show myself a tyrant. When I have fought with the men, I will be civil with the maids. I will cut off their heads.' And then Gregory, in astonishment, goes, 'the heads of the maids? Aye, the heads of the maids or their maiden heads. Take it in what sense thou wilt.' And there's a line. Oh, here we go. Yeah, it's the next line. Because they must take it in sense that feel it. And then Samson goes, 'me they shall feel while I'm able to stand, and 'tis known I am a pretty piece of flesh.' Disgusting.
Well, that's all a conversation we have every day in my local supermarket.
That's the kind of conversation we have every night on the nightclub. More important than your supermarket, if I might say so.
Yeah, okay.
So we've concluded that your neighbour from hell
is
not...
Radio 4.
I'm not sure about that. I'm happy at Radio 5 Live. Thank you for the offer. But we need to conclude that your neighbour from hell is actually your actual William Shakespeare.
You told me no more names. I'm not going to give any more names. But,
he's William Shakespeare.
He's a poet in his own version.
And he doesn't even know it.
Version of life.
But he's a poet and he doesn't even know it in his own version of life. Is that good enough for you?
Very good. Very good.
Well, I try, don't I? I do try. It's not easy. Colin, absolute pleasure. I'm not convinced that that is a neighbour from hell. I mean, it might make your life hell, but hey, he's Shakespeare. What can I say? Mia is with us in Rhondda, and then we'll speak to Matthew in Andover. Bear with me, Matthew. Hello, Mia. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. Chris Christopherson. I know you're a musician. You're a musician. And if I might say so, you're one of, you know, the younger listeners to the nightclub. Our studio director tonight, young woman like yourself, she's hearing Chris Christopherson for the first time tonight, and she's not impressed. Can you try and convince her, please? Because I've tried and I've tried and I've tried.
Well, thing is, I'd seen the movie Convoy when I was little because my mum forced me to watch it and I loved it. It was great.
Yeah, good.
And then I'd only just found out that he died because I heard you say it like on the beginning of this show. And I was like, what? And I literally like Google searched it just to like make sure. I thought you were lying to me. Because I'm only just getting over the death of Maggie Smith. dying on the 1 year anniversary of Michael Gambon's death.
Oh.
Which hit me really hard because I'm a massive Harry Potter fan. So then when I found out this morning from yourself that Chris Austin had died, I was like, what is going on? Like, all these amazing people. And I fell in love with Chris Austin because he did a film, he was in a film with Dolly Parton called Joyful Noise.
Oh, yes, he was. Oh, you're absolutely right. Oh, my goodness.
And the song that he did with Dolly Parton, From Here to the Moon and Back, it's such a beautiful love song. And it, like, it's the song that made me fall in love with the idea of love.
Oh, that's beautiful. Can we have a little listen to it? I'll come back to you in a moment for you to explain what you meant there. Just in a moment.
I could hold out my arms, say I love you this much. I could tell you how long I will long for your touch. How much and how far would I go to prove the depth and the breadth of my love for you? From here to the
I think I know what the answer to this is, Mia. You've said this was the song that made you fall in love with the idea of falling in love. What did you mean?
Because the song is based on an elderly couple that have been married for so long, and the husband unfortunately passed away, but you know, she sees him everywhere and she'll sing the song that because this is the song he used to sing to her, and she'll, you know, like dance around the living room as if he's still there with her. And it's just, it's so touching to know that there is love that strong.
Is that the idea of falling in love?
Well, yeah, because I mean, then it gives people who are watching it, you know, they fall in love with the idea that they could have that love one day.
Mm. God, you sum it up so beautifully. The only thing I need you to do now, Mia, if you don't mind, we've got our studio director in the studio now. Her name's Natalie. She's the one that didn't appreciate Chris Christopherson. But I think what you've been saying is changing her view. Isn't that right, Natalie?
I feel like I'm being forced here, dotted.
No, you're not being forced. Is anybody handcuffing
I've been
you?
Here.
No, I asked you. I did ask you very generously.
No, you didn't.
Very generous of you to join us this morning. But it's not for me to convince you. Mia, do you mind doing the honours? Why should Natalie perhaps get to know a little bit more about Chris Christopherson and how he writes a song?
Because, like, his songs, the way he writes them, like, he's got a lot of love songs and stuff out there, and they're so heartfelt, and he's able to just sort of make each song, like, if you listen to them, they feel like they are written for you.
Mm.
He just has such a way with words.
I would agree, Natalie. The only thing is, though, these songs are 50 years old, some of them. Is that a bit... I'm not... And I genuinely, Natalie, I'm not actually saying, you know, they're beyond the remit of a young person like yourself to appreciate, but is it perhaps a generation too far from you?
I feel like I do have a cut-off point with older music, but just because it's 50 years old doesn't mean I won't listen to it. It's more just the style of music, I think, isn't resonating with me.
Although, with Dolly Parton on this song, it resonated a little bit more.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about Dolly Parton, but I do like some of her songs, yeah.
Mia, that's your generation right there, eh? What's different
yeah,
about...
Yeah, I mean, I'm only 23, so, you know, I'm still quite young myself.
Yeah. But although you're wise. And so are you, Natalie. You know, you're both wise. You're being frank, and I do appreciate it. But, Natalie, you will appreciate, I'm sure, why we have to pay tribute to Kris Kristofferson tonight. Even just from the songs that we've been playing, that listeners have been asking for, they're all classics, you know.
Yeah, you can't deny that. I don't, you know, I think people will like him, and I can understand that, just because I don't necessarily like some of the songs.
Sure.
Doesn't mean others can't. I respect it.
Just out of curiosity for me, how difficult is it to sit in front of the microphone? Because you and my other colleagues think that all I do here is sit down and talk in front of a microphone. Anybody can do that. But now you know the jeopardy of sitting in front of a microphone. How straightforward or difficult is it?
Yeah, it is. It's a bit more daunting when you're actually in the studio. It's not something that comes naturally, I don't think.
I'm only kidding. I can't do it without you. It works the other way around, as you know. You're the boss. I'm the person who has to follow your lead in this. Amir, thank you very much. You've explained a lot to Natalie. Natalie, before the night is over, I hope you don't mind, I'm going to ask listeners to convince you about why Kris Kristofferson should be on your playlist. Is that all right? Do you mind?
Go on then.
I will do. Ladies and gentlemen, I have got the permission from young Natalie, who's our studio director tonight, for you to recommend a Kris Kristofferson song for her playlist. That would be a great tribute to Kris Kristofferson, I'm sure. So feel free, don't hold back. 08085 909693. Call me. If you're going to text, then please start your text, Dear Natalie. So it will go to her and she'll get it. Natalie, thank you very much. What a beautiful song,
thank
by the
you.
Way. Absolute pleasure. So we've got Matthew in Andover and we've got Robert in Newcastle. Matthew, you want to talk about Partygate. Robert, you want to talk about maternity leave. Bear with us, Robert. Matthew, first of all, Partygate, eh? Storm in a teacup. Boris
Morning,
Johnson.
Morning, mate. How are you, Dalton? You all right, mate?
I'm very well, and thank you for asking. Appreciate
pleasure talking
it.
To you as always, mate.
Yeah, and you're good? You're good, Matthew?
Yeah, I'm all good.
Good.
So, Partygate, whether we like Boris Johnson or not, one thing we all have to concede is how quickly and efficiently he rolled out the vaccination programmes and the various schemes, the furlough and whatnot. But he does look to avoid the issue, in my opinion. He just don't want to answer questions on it for whatever reason.
And I
hope, you know, personally, I hope karma gets the better of him. I'm not a fan of him. I have to concede. He rolled out the vaccination programs and whatnot, but he don't want to talk about the issue, does he, really?
Well, I think you're very, very generous in acknowledging his successes. And well done, Matthew.
I think we have to. I mean, yeah. The rolling out the vaccination programme, yeah, it was quick, it was efficient, you know, whether we like him or not. But what we all want to know, you know, the million-dollar question is, you know, what made him think he was better than everyone else? That is the prime example, mate, of how to use and abuse power, isn't it?
Yeah, he is suggesting, and this is flies in the face of the investigation, which ended up with him getting fined for breaking COVID rules. He's suggesting that there was no party and otherwise, which I think beggars belief, because there was a police investigation into this and probably a much thorough investigation than other people who were fined for breaking COVID rules would have had. So beggars belief. Does this suggest that he's not taking it seriously? Because you're saying he's trying to avoid talking about it, and avoiding talking about it might be because, you know, you're culpable, you know, and you do take it seriously.
Well, he has to be culpable, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, there's evidence there's too much evidence, in my opinion. I mean, I weren't there at Downing Street, but there's too much evidence to suggest that, that Partygate did occur. You know, you've got the Sue Gray report. But, you know, what angers the public more is he locked everyone in lockdown, but yet people couldn't see their loved ones dying of COVID, which is wrong, isn't it?
That explains perhaps why he doesn't want to talk about it. Although nobody's blaming him for the deaths of people, but they're saying even at that time, you didn't observe the protocol, your own rules. And at the very least, he'd be described as a hypocrite, wouldn't he? At the very least. Do you understand why the rest of us, let's assume that many of us have been fortunate enough not to have had or lost a loved one, quite apart from those who did lose loved ones, but for people who didn't lose loved ones, do you understand why those people are very angry still? I'm sure this time
of course you do. Yeah, of course.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Why do you think that is?
Well, they have the right to be angry, don't they? Because they've lost, you know, they were the ones that lost people during the pandemic.
Oh,
you
yes.
know, like, fortunately for myself, I didn't lose anyone. We've all had COVID. It's a blatant disregard of power.
That was 2-3 years ago. Have we not moved on? Can we not move on?
Absolutely. Why are you asking the question, about Partygate?
No, I'm just wondering what your reaction, I'm asking people's reactions to what Boris Johnson says. And he's the one who's brought it up for his biography. And if he says, well, it wasn't a big deal, even if you don't agree with him, do you not move on nevertheless and just think, well, he's guilty nevertheless, so let's just move on and move on the subject? Because it feels like we're arguing about something that's been concluded for his purposes, which is to somehow wash his hands of it and to absolve himself of the blame, if you like. And it feels like we're playing his game by sort of like, oh, well, yes, but this, that, about something that happened years ago. Do you know what I mean? We've already concluded what it is, and now we're bringing it back into the conversation because the Prime Minister, ex-Prime Minister, brought it back. Is that a valid way of sort of looking at it, that this, we're almost arguing about a case that has already been concluded? It's kind of like, are the Cray twins guilty? Well, that was done and dusted years ago. Why are we talking about it now?
We've got to go to the news, but just a quick question. Do you genuinely believe he cares about the people that were lost during the pandemic with his words in his biography? COVID was a storm in a teacup. You know, does that give you the impression he really genuinely cares?
That's a really good question. I
nearly swore on air.
Mate, every night I nearly swear on air. Every night, Matthew.
The words you want to use to describe him are not fit for national radio. They're really not. But I don't think he cares.
As you ask the question of me, I would say you would have to not have a heart to care when 250,000 people died. You'd have to not have a heart. And I can't imagine that he doesn't have a heart. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that anybody would be so cruel and callous not to care. If that answers your question, Matthew.
Yeah, no, it's a difficult one. It really is. I think the best thing you could do is just not being in the public eye anymore. He's made an enormous amount of money, in arguably one of the highest paid jobs in the UK. British Prime Minister. And I think, his legacy is already tarnished. Has he got a legacy in politics anymore? I don't think he has.
He hasn't gone away. And by the way, his wealth is beyond the wealth of any prime minister, I can imagine. Prime minister's income, in any case. Look, thank you, Matthew. Like I said,
bless you, mate.
No, absolutely the same to you. And like I said, you're very, very generous in your description, and I think that shows, you know, your own integrity. And thank you for that, Matthew Nandover. 0808 590 9693. But Matthew did ask, why are we talking about it? We're talking about it because Boris Johnson himself has put this in his book, and I don't know about you, but the idea that COVID was a storm in a teacup still sticks in my throat. I don't know why. You tell me. What's your reaction to it? Robert in Newcastle, are you happy to wait till after the news?
Yeah, I certainly am, Don.
Bear with me. I'll come to you straight after this. It's 2:35.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
BBC News on 5 Live. Kris Kristofferson, the American singer, songwriter and actor, has died at the age of 88. After studying at Oxford, he gave up a career in the US Army to pursue his music. The final blast furnace at Britain's biggest steelworks in Port Talbot will cease production later today, bringing an end to over a century of primary steelmaking in the town. More than 2,500 Tata employees are being made redundant across the area. A new electric furnace is planned for 2027. Two people are reported to have been killed in an Israeli airstrike on the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Earlier, Lebanon's health ministry said that 50 people had been killed in Israeli strikes targeting Hezbollah positions in the country's third largest city, Sidon, and in the eastern Baalbek region. And Rishi Sunak has urged the Conservative Party to end the backbiting and the squabbling. In a speech on the opening day of the party's conference in Birmingham, the former Prime Minister said he had one final ask for members to get behind whoever wins the contest to replace him. Five Live Sports now. Here's John Wilkinson.
Manchester United struggled and Tottenham's upturn in form continued last night. Spurs overcame the absence of Son Heung-min to beat United at Old Trafford 3-0. The hosts had captain Bruno Fernandes sent off at 1-0 down, and it is their joint worst start in the Premier League after six games. Aston Villa could have gone joint top of the table, but were held to a 2-2 draw at Ipswich. Rangers won in the Scottish Premiership, beating Hibernian 1-0. Whilst in the Women's Super League, there were wins for Manchester City, Manchester United and Arsenal, whilst Chelsea against Manchester United next weekend has been postponed. It's because of a conflict with the Blues' European schedule. England's cricketers have lost their one-day international series against Australia. The deciding match in Bristol was abandoned because of rain, with the tourists well in charge in their run chase. The final result was a 49-run win under DLS. Ben Duckett had scored a century for England in their 309 all-out. In rugby union, England women have begun the defence of their WXV1 title with a 61-21 win against the USA in Vancouver. Earlier, Bath beat Leicester by 20-15 in rugby union's Premiership. Tadej Pogacar has won the men's road race at the Cycling World Championships, completing the Triple Crown, winning the Giro d'Italia, Tour de France and World Championship in the same year. The United States' Keegan Bradley took the crucial point as his team won golf's President's Cup for the 10th edition in a row, beating the international team in Montreal. And Mark Selby has won snooker's British Open title in Cheltenham, beating John Higgins.
Europe's elite club competition.
The Champions League. Right here on BBC Radio 5 Live. On Tuesday at 8.
Arsenal host PSG.
Right footed. This is saved by Raya. A fantastic goal save.
And on Wednesday at 8.
Aston Villa take on Bayern Munich.
Tielemans waiting. Control. Driven shot. Bottom corner.
And watch highlights of every single match with Match of the Day. Wednesday night on BBC iPlayer.
The Champions League.
On 5 Live.
Listen on BBC Sounds.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
The voice of the UK.
On digital radio.
On BBC Sounds.
And ask your smart speaker to play BBC Radio 5 Live.
Dot and add a bio.
BBC Radio 5 Live.
Hello, Dawson
well,
and Natalie.
I woke up Sunday morning,
no way to hold my head that didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert.
Yeah, Robert Newcastle, bear with me just 2 seconds. I promise you I'll come to you straight after this. Terry in Bristol, you wanted to suggest this tune, didn't you? Kris Kristofferson, who we're paying tribute to, one of these biggies, I would suggest, Sunday Morning Coming Down. Good morning, by the way, Terry.
Morning. Morning, Don. Yeah, I did want to just pay respects. I think that particular song was very atmospheric, and I think Johnny Cash certainly made his own. Some singers are able to make songs their own. Mm-hmm. And the Johnny Cash version is very special. Mm. And I think Kris Kristofferson was proud of the fact that Johnny Cash had recorded it.
I can imagine. I can imagine. Yeah. I mean, everybody, well, a lot of the greats of the 60s and 70s and 80s, they all covered Kris Kristofferson. He clearly had something, didn't he? What is it that he does with this? Because I'm hearing his tunes. I describe them as very grown-up love songs. How would you describe them?
Yeah, I describe them as being very atmospheric. I agree with you, your terminology as well, but I think he's got a certain atmosphere to them, and a good singer and a good songwriter can write and sing songs that mean something to people, and you know, there aren't one of the best exponents of singers that are able to make them their own and immediately meet with people's feelings. I think there's obviously Elvis, but there's only a handful of songs that and singers that gel that way, you know. And people can adopt them as their own. That's how I feel about it.
And they're essentially all country singers as well. You mentioned Elvis, we mentioned Dolly Parton, Kris Kristofferson, we can hear country singers. But what they all three have in common is that they turn country into pop. Elvis did that with his rockabilly stuff. Dolly Parton, need I say more, and Kris Kristofferson, clearly. All these tunes are kind of like pop tunes or soul tunes even, you know, when we hear the Gladys Knight and the Pips cover them. Anyway, for now, Terry, thank you. You paid a really beautiful tribute to Kris Kristofferson. A lot of people are suggesting to Natalie how she could appreciate Kris Kristofferson. Alex in Manchester says, look, if you don't like the songs, then check the acting out. In fact, one of Alex's favourite films, Blade. So, Robert in Newcastle, we've kept you waiting long enough, haven't we? And thank you. Appreciate it.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, mate.
Good morning to all the listeners.
Yeah.
Wherever they may be.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that, Robert. Yeah.
I'm sure they love this show just as much as I do, Don.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed.
You're a good un.
Well, we are good uns, aren't we? We are good uns. We are good uns.
Well, we're trying our best, Don. Right. I'm going to go through these quickly. I've got a request at the very end, Don, where okay. I'd like to request for a show in the future.
Okay.
Right. My first point is parental equality.
Okay. Yeah. In terms of maternity.
Maternity leave. Well, my take on this is a very, very simple one. It's a nature one.
Mm-hmm.
Men should not have equal rights to women to go to have maternity leave. The simple fact is men can't breastfeed. Women can. And every child has got the right to be breastfed. Every child. Nature has changed from going out hunting. Now, that's what a man's job is now, you see, going out hunting. But not shooting bows and arrows and guns to catch food. It's a job. So catching food now is a job. You go out to make money, you get that money, you buy some food and you take it back to your family. And a woman should not be treated the same as that, because a woman cannot breastfeed in public. No. Well, they can breastfeed in public. There's no law against it. But, you know, obviously some women think, oh, I'm not pulling my breast out in front of people at a bus stop or somewhere like that. Yeah?
Of course, you can understand that. Why, if we're no longer hunter-gatherers, and if we are on the treadmill of work trying to raise money to be able to go and buy food, then we don't need the breastfeeding, do we? Because we can go out and buy it.
Well, you can't buy proper breast milk, Dotton. It's got enzymes in, it's got antibodies in, and you can't compare it to powdered milk.
Mate, of course not. Powdered milk, you know, when the baby goes and does their whoopsies, it stinks to, you know, wherever it stinks to. But whereas breast milk, you know, it's you could almost dine on it, you know?
A woman has got more right to be off work than a man. As for when she has a child and is breastfeeding, that woman wants to breastfeed.
No, I accept what you're saying, but in terms of long-term maternity leave, some people share it between the man and the woman, unless you're saying we shouldn't even be sharing it. We shouldn't be sharing. Hold on. The man has no right.
A woman can stay at home, breastfeed her child, change the child's nappy. While the man's at work, she's got her limbs and everything. She can do that.
What's
the problem?
I'm saying, well, a man can stay at home because a woman can express her breast milk. And the man can be there having a different role and getting closer to the child. Well, yeah.
Mate,
look, don't ask me.
Standing around moon at the bench crying all the time.
Watching daytime television is what I was going to say. But look, I'm not one of these modern men that I went out and worked.
It's all changed.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, okay, but you've got an old-fashioned view of this, because nowadays.
Can I make my last request?
Of course you can.
Right, can you do a program, a show on food?
Food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very important. That's what you live by.
Yeah. Okay.
And by the law, food and how it's changed over the years.
Oh, yeah.
How manufacturers have changed ingredients and putting chemicals in the food, chemicals that can poison you, that can give you cancer. Some of these chemicals have been banned in America because they've been injecting RATs with them. And they've been coming out in tumours. So they banned a certain chemical in America. It's called is it sodium benzenate? Okay. Now we can still get it in the soft drinks. Now I'm not advertising. The only soft drink I will ever drink from now on is Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola. Hold on. Not Coca-Cola Max or our diet.
Okay, yeah, whatever.
Coca-Cola original. I'm not advertising.
I'm laughing my head off though. But yeah, go on. Tell me why.
Other drinks are available. Yeah. But Coca-Cola's arrival, which you know what it is.
Yeah? It's not the real thing though, is it? It's a load of other things, but it's not the real thing.
Yeah, well, it begins with P.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, what they've done is they have changed their recipe and had the cheek and audacity not to stamp it on the can and say, this now the contains aspartame K has now been put on the list of cancer-causing ingredients.
Okay.
You see? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
May I make a suggestion? What's wrong with tap water?
Well, I wouldn't trust it. I would trust it if it was boiled.
Why not do that? Boil your water. It saves you a little bit of change, and then you don't have to worry about what they put in.
But don't know how food is changing. Things don't taste the same as what they used to be. I know for a fact a certain butter in the 1970s, when I tasted it in the 1960s...
I know which butter you mean,
Tasted a lot different. Yeah. Hold on, it tasted a lot different from what it does now. Yeah. And I found out, because the cows aren't grazed on the grass.
I didn't know it was that. I didn't realise it was there, but I will accept that you're absolutely right. Food don't taste like it used to, not unless you've got the money, and it does cost a lot of money to get the organic stuff, And there's no way of proving it's organic, I know, but the taste reminds me of what food used to taste like. It's not just the butter. I could add the eggs. I could add, a piece of chicken, et cetera, et cetera. Look, I'm going to try and do something on food. It wasn't quite your idea is a little bit technical, because who knows what ingredients they put into food nowadays. It's a little bit technical. I was hoping you'd say, let's do something on food. What's your favorite dish? That kind of thing. We might do that, but I'll see. I'll speak to the rest of the team, because I'm only the gob on the stick. But those who make the decision get paid a lot more than I do to make these decisions. I'll speak to them about it. Robert, thank you. Dennis in Maldon. Hello. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. Where's Maldon?
It is between Colchester and Chelmsford.
I know it. Of course I know it. Of course. The amount of times I rode my motor... So I went to university in Colchester, with no parking and everything. The amount of times I used to... Before they did the... is it the A12 or whatever it is there? Before they built that bypass... Remember the bypass that circles round Chelmsford now? And you had to, in the old days, you had to go, that's when I went to university, in the old days when you had to go through Chelmsford. The amount of times I went past Maldon, and I wonder what on earth is in Maldon. But I was always, because you sat in the traffic so much to get through Chelmsford, and I had to get to university to get to lecturers.
Yeah.
Because I was commuting from university to London in my final year, at least. But I never have got a chance to go to Maldon. Is it worth seeing?
Oh, yeah. They have a mud race in Maldon every year.
A mud race?
A mud race,
Right up my street, you know.
When the tide is out, you get a load of people doing the mud race. And I come from Southern Ireland, and I happened over here in the 70s, and that's how I became a Christofferson fan.
Oh, how come?
I worked on as a carpenter on sites, and there was a group of lads, including myself, that we just became fans of Christofferson because of his lifestyle. And he was a rebel, really, wasn't he? Because he was he went to Oxford University. He had a distinction in English, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
And he flew helicopters in the military, and he left the military then to pursue his career. He got a job in Nashville as a janitor.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah, and he slept on the floors and swept them. And he flew a helicopter onto Johnny Cash's lawn to deliver some of his songs to him, including Sunday Morning Coming Down, Me and Bobby McGee. Mm. And I know a lot of people think that Me and Bobby McGee was...
Janis Joplin.
Was Janis Joplin, but she did sing it, but he wrote it. But I think the big thing was with when he starred with Barbara Streisand in the great film Star is Born, which was the original, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, my goodness. Let's go back to being Bobby McGee for a second. Do you mind?
Not at all. I mean, it's a pleasure. I mean, I've been a fan of yours as well for some years. I listen to radio for an hour or so until I fall asleep at night sometimes.
Thank you.
And It's an honour to speak with you, to be
and
fair.
It's the first time we've spoken, which means something that we'll get to eventually.
Oh, yep. No.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what, let's just get to it now. First time caller. First time caller.
Yes.
Roll out the barrel. We'll have a barrel of fun. Roll out the barrel. We've got the blues on the run. Well, we've got to do it, haven't we? I know we're paying tribute to Kris Kristofferson, and to compare the tunes would be somewhat disrespectful. But this Me and Bobby McGee, this is the Janis Joplin version. I'm going to ask your opinion in a moment, Dennis.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, and I was feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained and rode us all the way into New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was playing soft while Bobby sang the blues. Windshield wipers slapping time, I was holding Bobby's hand in mine. We sang every song that Javi knew. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Good enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby. Yeah.
It's going to be hard to beat that performance, isn't it, Dennis? I mean, it's a great song. It's going to be hard to beat Janis Joplin singing the blues. It's going to be hard. Do you not think?
It's a bit like saying you've watched a game of football by a team that you don't support and they play really good football. You can admire it, but it's not the same as Kristofferson singing. He could read the phone book and people like me would listen to him rather than somebody singing the song. I mean, out of choice, I would obviously listen to Kristofferson singing.
Well, let's listen to it. This has got to be good for me to be impressed with this more so. It's a great song, like I said, I'm not arguing about the song, but Janis, mate, Janis tears her heart out, particularly when she sings that bit about freedom being nothing but, you know, nothing left to lose. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Well, yeah, it might be. But let's see how he does it.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, heading for the train, feeling nearly faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained, took us all the way to New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I was growing sad while Bobby sang the blues. With them windshield wipers slapping time out, Bobby clapping hands, we finally sang up every song that driver knew. Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing ain't worth nothing, but it's free.
And Dennis, you did say that he could read the phone book, and arguably that's what he's doing with this song. No disrespect, no disrespect. And I love it. I can't believe I'm saying this. You may have a point. This may just be better than the Janis Joplin version.
Yeah, but can I just stop you for a minute? That version that you've just played is a 1990s version. If you played the original version of Kristofferson, I think where he was on one of the one of the TV programs when he had his long hair and stuff. He sang a really good version of it. I mean, somebody said that he couldn't sing one of the critics over the years, and we all agree with that he's not the best singer on the planet. But when you listen to the words of, you know, for instance, Why Me, Lord, that great version of it, yeah. It's like a biblical song, isn't it?
Well,
Sunday morning coming down. I mean, everybody can relate to that song.
Why Me, Lord?
I wake up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. That didn't
Why
hurt.
Me, Lord? Johnny Cash. Oh, my word. Dennis, thank you. Appreciate it. Oh, my word.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
BBC News at 3 o'clock. This is Simon English. The American country singer, songwriter and actor Kris Kristofferson has died aged 88. He played a major role in defining American country music in the 1970s. Many of his songs, such as Me and Bobby McGee and Help Me Make It Through the Night, became classics covered by artists across many genres. The final blast furnace at Britain's biggest steelworks in Port Talbot will cease production today. It brings to an end over a century of what's called primary steelmaking in the town, producing steel with a blast furnace. A new electric furnace will eventually replace it. The move means more than 2,500 Tatar employees are being made redundant across the area. The far-right Freedom Party in Austria is on course for its first ever general election victory, but won't have an outright majority. The projections give the FPO 29% of the vote, 2% more than the Conservative People's Party. Here's Bethany Bell.
The Freedom Party leader, Herbert Kickl, has tapped into voter concerns about the economy, about rising prices and about migration. Forming a coalition government is likely to be very complicated. The other parties have all said they don't want to form an alliance that is led by Mr. Kickl.
Israeli airstrikes have hit Hezbollah targets in Lebanon and Houthi sites in Yemen. Our Jerusalem correspondent John Donison says Yemen is another dangerous front in a war that's threatening to engulf the Middle East.
There were very powerful explosions seen. Israel says it was responding to more drone and missiles attacks from Yemen. Earlier today, it shot down a drone it said was launched from Yemen over the Red Sea. And it is determined, I think, to respond with force to anyone who it thinks is threatening Israel.
Switzerland and Italy have redrawn part of their border in the Alps due to the melting of glaciers as a result of climate change. This will affect the area beneath the Matterhorn, one of Europe's tallest mountains, and the popular Zermatt ski resort. Data from the EU's Copernicus Weather Service shows European glaciers have lost 10% of their remaining ice in the last 2 years due to rising temperatures.